Today I have not so much instruction or teaching as just a suggestion. And hopefully the suggestion will give you some thoughts about a tree to bark up. I think one of the schemes of the enemy is to get us barking up wrong trees. I've actually shared that before. Because if you're barking up the wrong tree, no matter how well you bark, it's still the wrong tree. One of the things that's a weekly occurrence for me as I work at preparing or studying is just a scene from the book of Jeremiah where those who are supposed to be the Lord's servants, and they're given seminars and they're writing books and they're talking from the front, but they're missing it. They're barking up the wrong tree. And what the Lord says, he says, all those people who are writing the books and giving the seminars and giving the speeches and, and giving the instructions to my people, if they had but stood in my counsel, they wouldn't be saying any of that. Just that picture, if they had but been able to enter into the counsel of the Lord, the counsel of the Holy Ones, for 5 seconds, they would have said, okay, kind of forget everything I said. Throw away the book that I wrote, because it's the wrong tree. So I just want to give you a suggestion, and it won't even be brand new. It won't be something that you've never heard of before, but it is something that I believe the Lord wants to keep in front of us and wants to lead us in and teach us about. Suppose somebody asked you, what part of Christianity would you really like to get right? How would you answer that? Like, what part of Christianity would you really like to get right? Maybe you would say the righteousness part. Or maybe even more specific, the ethical part. I'd like to get that right. I have met people, and their goal is kind of like, I hope to get through this whole deal without a financial or a sexual scandal. If I do that, kind of like, I'm good. Whatever else happens. I just want to get that part right. Maybe you would say, I want to get the prayer part right. People ought to talk to their Creator. Men and women ought to call upon God. I want to get the prayer part right. Maybe you'd say, I want to get the gift part right. God gives gifts. Gifts to be used. Gifts to be employed. I want to get the gift part right. Maybe you'd say, I want to get the freedom part right. That glorious liberty of the children of God, the thing that all creation stands on tiptoe to see. I want to get the freedom part right. Or maybe you want to say, I want to get the leadership part right. So many things said about leadership. I want to get that part right. I mean, maybe you're like me, as you hear different parts, you say, yeah, I want to get that one right. I want to get them all right. Of course, the Lord can help us. He alone can help us get all of the parts right. But I want us to think about a part of Christianity today. And I would be glad if all of us would say, I want to get that part right too. So I want to introduce the part this way. Giving you assignment. The assignment is you have to write a song. If we're doing a series on psalms, that would be appropriate, okay? So you have to write a song. You can write any kind of psalm that you like. You can write a lament. Lots of songs of lament. So if you want to write a lament, complaint, have at it. You could write a psalm of praise, just of exaltation, extolling the Lord. If you want to write that kind of psalm, that's fine. Maybe you write a psalm of wisdom, of instruction, giving just wise and sage counsel and knowledge. Maybe you want your psalm to be a prayer. Just calling upon God. So your assignment is to write a psalm. So just write a verse or two in your head right now, okay? Write one or two verses. Okay? Got a couple verses? I suspect that nearly all of us, if we had to write a psalm, we'd write a psalm in the first person singular. Check your verses that you just wrote in your head. And they're probably first person singular. They're perhaps about your relationship to God. Perhaps about the things that you do. I will sing to the Lord.
I will rejoice and be glad in him.
Maybe it's about your prayer.
Oh God, hear my prayer.
Maybe it's about the praise that you want to give them.
Lord, I praise you. I bless you.
But we are much more likely to write, God has been good to me,
in a psalm than we are to write,
God has been good to us.
We are more likely to write, God is my refuge and my strength, than we are to write, God is our refuge and our strength. We're more likely to say, I cried out to God, than we are to write, we cry out to God.
One of the parts of Christianity I believe the Lord is working to teach us about, one of the parts that I would like for us to get right, is the us part. The we part. That's a tree that I would like us to bark up. The us part tree. The first person plural part of Christianity. If that's my suggestion. If you've got it, you can tune out if you like, okay? That's probably, I say that for David's sake. He's never thought I've been too short. So I'm just going to make the point, you know, and let's get on with it. So you got it, David. You bark up the us part. Say, Lord, help me get the us part right. There's always the individual you. That's a very important part. Each one of us is a unique individual. I am not you, and you are not me. I mean, we are different people. And every one of us could say that to each other. And I'm stuck being me, and you're stuck being you. Everything in my life is marked by Roger. My thoughts are Roger's thoughts. My feelings are Roger's feelings. You know, my history is Roger's history. All my happenings are Roger's happenings. I was born when Roger was born. I've only ever been where Roger has been and is. And I'm going to die when Roger dies. I've been married for 30 years, but I've never been Jan. You know, I have 3 kids, but I've never been any one of them. Some of you I've known for years, but I've never been you. And no one has ever been me except me. I'm bummed by that sometimes. I'm like, you know, why don't you be me for a day and give me feedback, you know? And of course, there are important Roger questions and Roger issues. Does Roger believe? Does Roger obey? Does Roger know God? Does Roger have life? Does Roger love? Is Roger's name in the book? And if I were to turn to the Bible, if I were to turn more specifically to the Psalms, I could find help. And I do find help with Roger issues. Because there you find a lot of first person singular. Encouragement to me. Instruction to me. Commands directed to me. Comfort to me. Help to me. I can find all of that there in the Scriptures and in the Psalms. But if I only read passages that address individual Roger issues, and of course you put your own name in there, if you only read passages that address individual issues for you, we would soon realize, though we're reading a lot of passages, we're also skipping a lot of passages. We're skipping a lot of Psalms. And we would be skipping them because we would find out they're not talking about the individual. They're not talking about I and me and mine. Rather, they're talking about some group. You know, they're talking about some corporate thing. They're talking about some us. And if I'm trying to find help with Roger issues, you know, I don't care about that corporate thing. I don't care about that group. I want some help with my issues. But I've never been Jordan. But if Jordan believes in Jesus, and I believe in Jesus, then the Bible says that we are members one of another. That Jordan and I have been baptized into one body. And then you find out the Bible starts talking about
talking to this thing, this corporate thing, this thing that we are together. And indeed, things get said about the corporate thing. Things get said about the us that don't even get said about the individual part. There's nothing in the scripture about Roger being the fullness of him who fills all in all. But there is some stuff in the Bible about this corporate thing, this we thing, this us thing, being the fullness of the one who fills all things. And in the Psalms, there's lots about me and lots about I, lots of I's. Lots about Roger as an individual, about an individual responding to God in faithful and true ways. But then there's a lot also about we, a lot about us. There's a lot about Israel, and it doesn't mean a person. It means some group. There's a lot about the people. Probably all of us know that we tend to be way too heavy on the individual side when we talk about Christianity. We're very individualistic. We think that often the way Christianity is spoken of, it often leaves the impression that it's just about you as an individual. That's what Christianity is about. It's about you as an individual and your personal relationship to God. It's about you and Jesus. It's about you knowing him. It's about having your needs met. It's about a plan that he has for you. It's about you going to heaven when you die. But the individual part is not the only part. It may not even be the most important part. There's an us part. Something in Christianity that's much better captured by the word we than by the word I. Something that's much better captured by the word us than it is by the word me. There's a part like that in the things of God. And were we to write psalms, it would be good if some of the time we wrote us psalms. We psalms. Where we would learn to say the word our, because we're thinking of some corporate thing, some group. So we would say our God, because we're thinking not just of me, but we're thinking of this us. We would talk about how we trust in our God. We boast in our God, that our God is a refuge. You know, we would learn to say we in relationship to how we respond to God. We say we will sing. We will rejoice. We will give thanks. So here's just a few samples. And it's really just that. Samples of just like kind of fairly quickly even pick some things from the Psalms. And I just want you to notice that they're we. We often take passages like this, transpose them back into first person singular. But they're written in first person plural. Our soul. That's very interesting words. The word soul is singular, but the pronoun modifying it is plural. The Psalms talk about this in multiple. It says our heart, our soul, our mind. It's a corporate thing, but then it's singular. It's the soul that we have, not our souls, not our souls individually, but something that we are together. You know, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Just notice the plurals here. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. A very fascinating thing in Hebrew language in particular is it can use a single name, and the name becomes to represent something corporate. You know, Jacob. Who are you talking about when you talk about the God of Jacob? Are you talking about that one guy whose name was Jacob? Or are you talking about the house of Jacob? And all these people who are somehow in Jacob. Of course, very great. That becomes something. There are people who are in Christ. And when you say Christ, do you mean the one person? Or do you mean, you know, that corporate thing? Same, of course, with Israel. There's a guy named Israel. But when you say Israel, you mean a people. He chooses our inheritance for us. The glory of Jacob, whom he loves. Through God, we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our adversaries. Just notice the corporate. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. The God who is our salvation. Show yourself strong, O God, who have acted on our behalf. It's the whole people talking. Some burden that they share together that God has helped to bear. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Well, not just my house, not just your house, but our land. You have placed our iniquities before you. So we got some good stuff. We also have some corporate screw-ups. You know, it's our iniquities, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, this would have happened to us. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Part of what we want to happen is not just for the nations to look at you or at me as individuals, but to look at us and say, you know what? Their God has done great things for them. A little bit different here, but still notice here, sometimes when you write psalms, it's good to recognize, you know, I'm part of some company. So you say, for the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, I'm going to take some action. I'm going to pray some things. I'm going to say some things for the sake of that us that I'm a part of. Surely God is good to Israel. Just a testimony, not just good to me, it's good to Israel. A whole bunch of them. May those who wait for you not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. May those who seek you not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. Sometimes when you think of the us part, you want to say, Lord, I hope I'm not the weak link. Oh, right? You know, I hope everybody's not ashamed because I'm part of the company. Oh, yeah, we got him. He's one of us, but you know, he slows us down. So that those who wait upon God, I'm part of them. Lord, don't let me bring that dishonor to them. And then just one more thing I wanted to do by just, you know, kind of a couple samples. It's good to give exhortations sometimes to that group you're part of, to that us. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. All corporate things and just exhortation, kind of like, join me. Let's do it together. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then sometimes you're glad when somebody else remembers you're part of the group. Say, you know, I was glad when they said to me, come with us. Let's go to the house of our God. The Psalms of Ascent tell of a journey from far away to the city of God that all these pilgrims make. These pilgrims journeying from far away to the house of God. The final two psalms, there's 15 in the collection, speak of where the journey ends. And the journey up to the city of God ends in two things. Psalm 133 and Psalm 134. Here's the first of those two things. I'm sure you know it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. The journey up to the city, this long pilgrimage, ends in us. Brethren, dwelling together in unity.
And the us things are said to be good and pleasant.
I really like that. Those are simple words. For years, actually, a secret hobby of mine has been looking in the newspaper at the movie advertisements, waiting for somebody to say, this movie is a good and pleasant movie. I've so far never seen it. They're shocking, they're thrillers, they're like the best of the year, all that stuff, but they never say this is good and pleasant.
But the us thing that the journey ends in, it's good.
And it's pleasant. Now, if we were asked to come up with a couple of things to say what the good and pleasant is like, I don't think we would come up with the two things that are in this psalm that are by way of analogy for what the good and pleasant is like. We would probably not come up with the analogy, you know, this it's good and pleasant. It's like oil dripping off the head onto the beard and onto your clothes. Just like that. Okay? Nor probably, no, it's like dew coming down from one place to another. Can't get much more pleasant than that, can you? I wish I could linger long on this, but though I encourage you to think about it, the us things, that first part, where it's like oil upon the head, Aaron's head, he's the high priest. The us things, in the end, are for God. Priests are about appointed on behalf of men and things pertaining to God. Priests are there for God. And the us things, more than anything else in the end, are for him and for his glory. There's the good part. But they're also so pleasant. They're refreshing, living water, coming down from the highest place. Mount Hermon is the highest place. Coming down on the mountains, covering everything, but just very gently, very, very pleasantly. Just dew, you know, not a drenching, you know, not a flood, just dew. From the very highest, coming down onto Mount Zion. Notice how us things flow down. It's like the oil going down. It's like the dew coming down. We can't work us things, we can't work them up. You probably have tried, I've tried, I've been in places that have tried. Oh, let's rev up the us things. It's all, let's be a neat group, okay? You know, let's be exciting, dynamic. We won't be good and pleasant either. We'll be, you know, we'll be dynamic. We'll be powerful. And it never works. You know, you can't work it up. It has to flow down. You know, it has to descend upon us from on high. But all I'm suggesting today, and again, it's not brand new, but it's very present in the Psalms, and I think the Lord wants to teach us about these things. So all I'm suggesting is bark up the us part tree. Say, Lord, I want to get the us part right. If that stirs your heart, just bark some. And we'll see what it gives to us. So we want to finish before we have just a time of fellowship together, sharing communion. It's communion with the Lord, but of course communion itself speaks big time, points big time to the fact that it's us. Because the ones who partake of one bread are one with each other. They are united in him.